In our recent Sunday evening services, we've been engaged in a series of studies from the book of Proverbs. We've been looking at the collections of wise sayings covering the vast majority of practical subjects that we face in our lives, from the idea of a parent raising a child to the idea of dealing with the temptations of lustful and sexual circumstances that present themselves before us, and a lot of other situations in between. Solomon was a man who was given a great dispensation of wisdom. God gave him wisdom more than any other man before him or after him, as far as the understanding and the judgment of God's people. And yet, I want to ask you to notice with me tonight a text found in 1 Kings chapter 11 that gives a stark warning to us. Even a man who had the experience of knowing that God had given him specifically an abundance of wisdom and understanding, and a man who knew that God had given him wealth above any other person round about, any other leader, any other king, knowing that God had given him all of these things, we're shown something about Solomon in the history we're told in 1 Kings chapter 11. We're shown that this man was a man whose heart was turned away from God. And I would share this with you tonight with a realization that if it can happen to somebody like Solomon, it can happen to somebody like me, somebody like you. What was it that turned Solomon's heart away from God? Now, when I read this, there's going to be an immediate assumption that comes to mind. But I would caution you, don't get so locked in on the immediate thought that will come to your mind as to follow the whole of this message, because it's bigger than what it sounds like. 1 Kings chapter 11, and I want to read verses 1 through 6. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, of the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto them in love, unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect before the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you some thoughts tonight that are rather stark. And the statement that is given in verse 2 is really the core of this thought. The statement that said, "For surely these will turn away your heart after their gods." You see, when you read this passage of Scripture, and Solomon is said to have loved these strange women. He had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. The idea of a lustful situation jumps into our heads. But I would tell you that the real danger in turning away Solomon's heart and the real danger in turning away our heart is not just the lustfulness of the situation, but rather the following of the practices of other gods, other religious practices that are different from what God had given in His law and in His word. Solomon mixed things. And the sad outcome was that his wives turned his heart. The idea very often is, well, I can take them and I can turn them my way. No, that won't work, folks. It just will not work. Let me show you something from the Scriptures. Look with me for a moment in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 34. And I want to read verses 14 through 16. Exodus 34, verses 14 through 16. God said, "Thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring," that is, the people of Israel, "go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods." Now notice in the use of the language, God says that this turning aside, this influence, was a matter that it uses the term a-whoring, of one who is married turning aside to someone other than the one to whom they're married, going outside of the relationship. And the matter is, what's spoken of here is the idea of when we allow ourselves to be turned to some other practice that is different from the Word of God, we are stepping outside of the marriage vow to which we are married to God. Have you ever thought about that? We're the bride of Christ. And when we begin to allow our thoughts to be turned aside, allow our practices to be mingled, to be turned away from the purity of His worship, we are stepping out of that relationship. Now notice something. God gave Solomon a lot of wisdom and understanding. Solomon was able to make judgments that solved very difficult and very touchy cases. You remember the one particular one that we're told about in the Scriptures, that when he had first become king and been given this wisdom to judge God's people, there were two ladies who came to him. Both of them had had infants. One of them had overlaid or rolled over onto and suffocated her child. The next morning, she switched the babies. And the mother recognized what had happened. And they wound up, your baby's dead, this is my baby. No, your baby's dead, that's my baby. Solomon, in what seemed to be a rather brusque statement, said, just take a sword and divide it in two, give half of it to each one. And then horror. The mother said, no, let her have it. Don't hurt the baby. And Solomon in his wisdom knew a mother's love, and he said, give her the baby. That's the mama. You see, God had given him the wisdom to be able to judge wisely. And yet, what Solomon's wise judgment was based upon was upon the Word of God. He wasn't just judging off the top of his head. He was judging based on the wisdom that God had given in His law and in His Word. And God had said, you know, this was back when the law was given by Moses, don't intermarry with these people. Don't intermingle with these people. Why? It wasn't because the Israelites were better than those people were. You know, the problem was the Israelites were a stubborn and stiff-necked people too. It wasn't because they were just inherently smarter and inherently better than other peoples were. What it was that the other peoples were those who worshipped strange God. There were practices of idolatry that would set up other items equal to God. And God says, if you mix with that, they're going to influence you. Now that's the divine wisdom that God gave back in the law, and He gave it in the book of Exodus. In Genesis, in Exodus, when the Ten Commandments, and then later on when He expanded on it in the teaching in the book of Exodus. Thou shalt have no other God before you. These strangers were not just curious people. They were not weird people. They were people who were outside of the worship of the true God in heaven. And it wasn't just that they had no worship, they set something else up instead. Well, now surely Solomon, with all the wisdom that he had, wouldn't be affected by that. Solomon took these wives of strange women. Surely this man would be able to keep himself, keep his mind and his heart right. And yet the statement was, his wives turned his heart from God. You see, folks, I read those verses. We're going to look at some of those wives in a minute and see that there really is a comparison and a connection to us today. What God says in His Word is absolutely true. What God has given, whether it was by a statement to Solomon in a vision at night, or whether it was from the wise sayings that Solomon gathered, whether it was from the law of Moses, the wisdom that God gave him, the wisdom that God gives us through His book, is absolutely true. And it's absolutely true for everyone. It's not, well, that's fine for you, but I don't need that. That's your God. He's God. He's not my God and you got something. He's God. He's the one true and living God of heaven and earth. He's the one righteous God. And what He says is absolutely true. Now, when He warns us of steps we ought to take or of steps we ought not to take, the fact of the matter is His warning is true, and we are not exceptions. We are not immune to the warning. Don't marry those people. Don't intermingle with those people, for they will draw you after other gods. Oh no, not me. Oh yes, we are vulnerable. And we're most vulnerable when we begin to think that we are somehow above God's warning. Now I want you to look with me for a moment tonight about some of these women. Not just the women, but where they came from. What their background was. I've heard people say, oh, this was racist, this was about ethnicity. No, it's about truth. It's about the truth of God. You see, these were women who served other gods. And when they came into Solomon's household, they didn't put away their other gods. Solomon made them altars to worship their other gods. It wasn't because they were this color or that group. It was because of their idolatry. And the multitude of their idolatry fractured and fragmented Solomon's affections. Look with me for just a moment in the book of Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. The things that lets wisdom, lets understanding, lets learning in is through our eyes. We're visual people. God designed us that way. If the light be single, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, if it be broken, if it be fragmented, if it be fractured, then it will be full of darkness. You see, folks, we're to have a single eye. Solomon was to have a single eye. It was to be focused singularly upon God and upon His Word. He could not serve the God of the Zidonians, the God of the Ammonites, the God of the Hittites, and everything be fully light. He's going to be broken. We will be too. Our heart can be turned away from God, and the darkness is a dark, dark. What was it that Solomon got involved in? Think about the names for a minute. This passage in Kings tells us that he went after the gods of the Zidonians. Now, that's not a Star Wars or a Star Trek nationality. The Zidonians were a group of people from whom one principal character would later come to light. The Zidonians were the land from which a queen of Ahab named Jezebel came. The Bible is replete with the wickedness that came from her idolatry. That didn't start after Solomon. That was going on when Solomon took for himself the strange women. We're told that he took women of the daughter of Pharaoh, of the Moabites, of the Ammonites, of the Edomites, of the Zidonians and the Hittites. And then if you go on down in verse 5, Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonian. Now, Ashtoreth, not exactly a name that's really well known to us, but what if I mentioned to you Aphrodite or Venus? They're the gods of Greeks and Romans. We know those names. Ashtoreth was the same thing. It was a love goddess. It was a reproductive goddess. It was a sensual, sexual worship. Okay, we may not have Ashtoreth, but do you realize how full the world is today of the emphasis of the sensual and sexual? And we can be turned aside by it just as quickly and just as easily. He went after in verse 5, he went after the Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonite. Milcom, another name that doesn't sound too much like anything that we know today, except for the fact that it's thought that this god of the Ammonites was one who required human sacrifice, especially children sacrifice. The death of children for one's personal gratification is not that the same practice that goes on in our country today, almost without thought, with the lives of children taken because a mother or a father who have impregnated and brought that life to be fertilized and brought it to pass in God's plan, and then they decide they don't want it, and they'll sacrifice the child to their own pleasure. Not very pretty to think about, is it? And yet you understand that the dangers that God warned Solomon about, the dangers that God had warned, the depravity of the human heart, is the same thing that's still going on today. These things are just as prevalent in our society as they were then. Oh, those people were so bad. Well, guess what? So are we. If God's warning was valid to Solomon and Solomon disobeyed it and fell as a result, ought not that same warning be just as much of a red flag to us? To not allow our mind to be turned aside by the worship of other gods? There are other religions that are as much idolatry as anything that the Zidonians and the Ammonites and others had. And yet those things are being absorbed and brought in and mixed and mingled, and we're being told, oh, we need to tolerate all of those things and accept all of those things and it'll make our lives better. No, it won't. It will turn our hearts from God, and the result is tragic. The warning is still there for us. Now I want you to notice something, one other thing about this tonight. That warning is a very extensive warning. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to notice that this warning is us not have fellowship or partnership with certain things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 15 through 18. Verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that verse is almost always applied at weddings. But it's more than just that. What concord, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? What agreement does Christ have with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth in Christ, believeth in the God of heaven and earth, with an infidel, with one who doesn't believe in God? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, brothers and sisters, the warning is that when we are God's child, we don't have an agreement with the world. We can't find an agreement with the world. Any step away from God is a step down. Any step away from the truth of Jesus Christ is a descent. It's not an improvement. There have been a lot of things repackaged. There have been a lot of things called the New Age. There have been a lot of things put in glitz and glamour. But when you get to looking at it, it's the same old stuff. Satan hasn't changed. But God hadn't changed either. And His warning to us is that we're to have no part with it. In planning all of our life, our marriages, our business ethics, our social practices, all of those things, they will turn our hearts. Oh, not me. Oh, yes, you. Oh, yes, Lee. We're not immune, folks. And the sad thing is Solomon was given such great blessing and yet ignored God's warning. Well, he was an old man by that time. You know what? There never comes a time in our life when it's all right to disregard God. Whether you're a young man, young woman, old man, old woman, or somewhere in between, there is no good time to disregard God. Look with me in the book of Ecclesiastes for a moment. Ecclesiastes, I'm going to begin reading Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. And then we're going to look on over into verse 12. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. There seems to be an idea in our world that, oh, you can live like you want to when you're young. You can straighten it out later on. It's going to have consequences. Well, when he got old, listen to what he goes on to say. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days not come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Here's the evil days. When you get old, when the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, for the clouds return after the rain, and the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease. If you read all that passage in there, you'll find out that he's talking about the effects of age. When our eyes get dim, our teeth don't work, may not still have them. We don't have the strength that we used to have. You see, our behavior has consequences in our youth. Our behavior has consequences when we're old. We're not immune, and we're not excused on either of those things. When we are quickened by the Spirit of God and we're called by the Spirit of God to follow Him, if we're young, follow Him in our youth. If He calls us in our age, follow Him in our age. If He calls us in our mid-years, follow Him faithfully. Know that when you step out of line of His command, there will be consequences. Go with me over into the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5. Well, let's just turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and can his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whomsoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Sexual misconduct is the focus of this whole section. But the principle is, you can't play with sin and bring it into your life and not get burned by it. If you're young or if you're old. Solomon played with it. Solomon had been given great blessings. Solomon set up idols for his wives. Well, I'll fix it where they'll be happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, you know? But I'll make them happy. But what happened? They turned his heart. Playing with idolatry, playing with the ways of other gods, will turn our heart. You see, that's the real crux of the issue. We laugh about Solomon having 700 wives and 300 concubines, and how in the world could one man live around 1,000 women? A lot of jokes have been made about that, but that's really not the crux of the issue. The crux of the issue is their idolatry. Why do you think they mentioned where they came from, where their gods were? Because they were the same gods whose idolatry plagued Israel throughout the course of Scripture. Folks, idolatry, when we mix and mingle and accept it, will still turn our heart. And the consequences are darkness for us. Well, you can't lose your salvation. No, but let me tell you something. You can have a hard time here. Solomon was a wise man, but he made mistakes. His mistakes brought him grief. As a matter of fact, his mistakes brought about the division of the kingdom of Israel and Judah because of his idolatry. Folks, our wrong choices have harsh consequences. Will God forgive us? Yes. Will that wipe out the consequences? No. I guess the consequences, the question to us is, are we going to allow the darkness of this world to turn our heart away from the light of God in Jesus Christ? Are we going to allow things to be mixed and mingled in our hearts that will fracture and fragment our attention and affection? Paul said in Colossians, set your affections on things above. Our affections very often get set on things down here, and they turn our heart away from the Lord. If I've been turned, may God bless me with repentance to turn back to the Lord and to ask for grace and patience and the consequences that come. But listen, folks, don't ignore the reality. God warned under the law. God demonstrated through Solomon. And we're just as vulnerable. Idolatry will turn our hearts. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.